Welcome back, one and all, to the Control Your Experience podcast. I am the namesake, Alan Epps, here controlling my experience. Hope you guys have been doing the same. Again, I don't know how many times I gotta say this. My weekends have been stupid hectic and stupid boring at the exact same time. I don't know how else to explain it. It's like, I don't be having shit to do, but somehow my time be getting sucked up. But I actually tried to record this on Sunday twice. The memory card corrupted. Had to get another one, so here we are on Monday the 1st. So let's just dive right into it. The weekend we saw some new, well, not the weekend, but over the last week, we saw some news about Tiger Woods was involved in a scary rollover accident. For those of you who don't know, I currently work in auto damage writing estimates for people after they crash up their car. So when I saw this vehicle, I immediately thought the worst. Thankfully, he has serious injuries, but not life-threatening injuries. Evidently, his right leg was broken in several places, compound fractures. They had to use the jaws of life to get him out. But it does look like he will live, obviously, and most likely retain his leg. Now, what that does to his golf career, I don't know. It was a cool little show of solidarity. Some of the other PGA Tour members wore his trademark red and black in support of Tiger. What I noticed, though, people, as usual, couldn't wait to crucify this man. To include my own mother, I say, oh, man, Tiger Woods was in an accident. And the first thing she goes, did she have any hookers? Did he have any hookers with him? Like, Jesus Christ, Mom. Fuck. But for the record, no, he did not have any fucking hookers with them. But even if he did, so what? They came out with the fact that he passed the tox screen and there was no indication of him being impaired or anything like that, either by drugs or alcohol. I looked at the map and it didn't look too challenging of a road or anything. Low speed, like 30 mile an hour speed limit, slight bend. So, I mean, pure speculation. A lot of people seem to think maybe he fell asleep at the road, or maybe it is a wooded area around there, so maybe deer ran across. Who knows? I don't think he's made a statement, but what's important is that Tiger Woods is still alive and with us. So, sending him healing mercies. Hope he gets better soon, and obviously hope he returns to the green. In other sports news, so yet another athlete has, you know, decided to stop minding his own business and to try to mind LeBron James's business. Zlatan Ibrahimovic. For those of you who don't follow international soccer, he is widely considered one of the greatest strikers. That's a forward, people, you know, who are supposed to score goals, ever. And he plays for AC Milan as well as some other European teams. But out of nowhere, he just offered up his hot, not so hot take that LeBron James is, you know, a great athlete, utterly respected, but Zlatan just hates it when athletes do other things than be athletes, that they use their platform for social issues and stuff like that, saying that it just doesn't look good, yada yada. And just typical, I mean, we dissect this from different lenses. This is just, at best, ignorance, and I mean like unbiased, just unbothered ignorance, that Zlatan lives in a world where his white ass can just go be a millionaire and play soccer and not have to worry about shit but being tall and good looking and world famous and going home, where, you know, LeBron James does not have that luxury, let alone in his own fucking country, and they live two different lives. And then two, being just playing football, shut up and playing football, does not make you some sort of hero or better football player any more than using your football, your platform, makes you any less of an athlete, unless you let it become a distraction, which LeBron, nobody can say LeBron James is doing, given that the level of ball he's playing at the age of 36 in a league of young men. So that's just the most innocent lens to take this, that Zlatan just lives in a world where white people just don't have problems, so they can afford to just stick their head in the sand. Now, it says he's a Swedish professional footballer, so I'm assuming that's by nationality. I don't know what his ethnicity is, but Zlatan Ibrahimovic sounds real Slavic, at least to my ears, and I'm just guessing. I really don't know, but I say that, oh, it says nationality, Bosnia and Herzegovina and Sweden. So like I said, he sounds real Slavic. And for those of you who are not 90s and below babies, you recall that Bosnia and Kosovo, you know, I believe Kosovo is the capital of Bosnia. Hold on, let me Google that. Kosovo. Oh, it's a Republic of Kosovo. So Kosovo borders. Does it border Bosnia? Why am I putting Kosovo and Bosnia together? Yeah. So Kosovo, Bosnia, Croatia, Serbia. All of those cities were war torn in the 90s. War torn. We're talking about bombs, dropping out of fighter jets, ethnic cleansing, all of that shit. You know? And Zlatan is damn near 40 years old. So he's older than me. So he damn sure remembers that. So I can't even begin to tell you what the political landscape is in those in that region right now, or what the status of the, but we're talking about like people were being ethnically cleansed. I think it was also along Muslim and Christian lines, but just straight up, you're from here, we don't like you. There were warlords, to the point where the United Nations and the US had to intervene. Like, people were getting killed in the street. So I say all that to say this, that if that was currently going on and Zlatan was directly affected by that and he felt the need to bring awareness to that, who would fault him? Nobody. Nobody. On the flip side of that, if he chose to keep his head in the sand, I wonder what his own countrymen would say against about him. But then again, that would be his right, because he can just go to Sweden and put the shit behind him because he's a rich footballer. Whereas LeBron James chooses to remain a pillar of his community. So even if I don't want to look down on Zlatan for that, for his, you know, fine, live your life. You have, we're blessed with generational talent. Reap the rewards of that. Stay in your lane. How dare you? How dare you and your Caucasian ass offer up an opinion that nobody asked for to police a man who chooses to operate and vibrate? I hate saying vibrate because I sound like the fucking hotel. At a higher level, on a higher plane, to undertake another calling that he is uniquely perched and positioned to have an impact on. Shut the fuck up, dude. Like, but yeah, I'll get the gun horns for that. I mean, the air horns for that. Like, just the audacity of white people, dog. Like, nobody asked you a goddamn thing. Shut the fuck up. I don't understand it. Another white nonsense. There was yet another gender reveal explosion that resulted in a fatality. It's 2021. I thought we were over this with, you know, the whole campfire being started and other, I think it was in Michigan or somewhere, where a grandma was killed. Because what people don't understand is they're trying to make these little devices that have some, not an explosion, but like a boom, you know, where a cloud of smoke, glitter, whatever it may be, pops out in the color of the they associate with the gender. So blue for boys, you know, not saying that it has to be out there, but I'm just saying traditionally blue is associated with males, whatever. The problem is that boom is in fact a fucking explosion. And unless you buy something ready made for that shit, if you're making it yourself, you are in effect making a bomb. Now, a bomb doesn't have to be, you know, a huge thing. If you put a firecracker inside of a soda can, you just made a bomb. Okay. But the problem is people don't fucking think, dude. And oftentimes these little devices that they're rigging up are nothing more than pipe bombs. And unfortunately, that's what happened. And it killed the father of, or the father-to-be of the child. So Jesus fucking Christ, people. Like, and this was in upstate New York. Hold on, I had his name. Where'd he go? Oh, well, I close it out. But yeah, come on, man. Just anyway, I thought we were over this. Like the whole fire that ripped California. Like, it's 2021. I know y'all are bored, but Jesus fucking Christ. I don't know, man. I got nothing on that. Let's reset the clock. Politics, a lot going on, from state, local levels up to federal shit. So, Governor Cuomo, which is Chris Cuomo's brother. So I believe his name is Andrew. Governor. Yeah, Andrew Cuomo is in the Budweiser hot seat for multiple reasons. A couple weeks back, he was accused by an aide of sexual misconduct. What that exactly entailed, I didn't quite see. If it was like, you know, catcalling, harassment, or if there was like anything physical going on, I don't know. But obviously, that's never a good look. and it wasn't dismissed, but it wasn't, it was just like, okay, he's been accused, and he denied it, and they just kept going. Then came out an allegation of a cover-up regarding COVID-19 and the reporting of the deaths experienced in the nursing homes. Now, as you recall, when the pandemic first started, nursing homes were not only being restricted from the families to visit because of the transmission of the fear of the transmission of the virus, but people were dying in these homes and the smell of decay because, you know, they don't have morgues, they don't have freezer facilities, and the morgues were at capacity, and people were just leaving, being left to rot in these nursing homes just because of the sheer onslaught and volume of the early stages of the pandemic. So evidently around that time too was right around the time where Trump was under fire, like, hey, you knew this was coming, you didn't do shit, you didn't help us prepare, you're not freeing up resources. And then Trump was like, well, the Democrats did this, and blah, blah, blah. And it was a big back and forth because, you know, Trump never stopped campaigning from the time he won. So the political landscape was, he was attacking the major the governors of Democratic states like Gavin Newsom out in California and Gretchen Whitmer, I believe, in Michigan, among others. And Cuomo was right up there. And if you guys recall, that was some good TV because Cuomo was just like going on news and just out shit talking Donald Trump just on some shut up, you know, type stuff. Well, evidently around that time, Cuomo's administration, whether or not it was directly ordered from him or whatever, they falsely underreported the amount of deaths in the nursing homes. And of course, Trump was trying to tie that to the policies of New York where they had shut down outside and stores, outdoor dining. So I'm sure he was trying to use those numbers to say, like, look, the Democrats are killing the economy and it's not helping. Get them out. Woo-woo-woo. Whereas Cuomo was like, look, we need to take this seriously and we're not being helped like the way we should by the federal government. They're not leading and people are dying. We're doing everything we can. So when that happened, Trump decided to open an investigation into New York. And for whatever reason, when that happened, Cuomo's administration did falsely underreported the amount of deaths in the nursing homes. Now, to hear the aide who broke this whole story, Melissa DeRosa, she says that they did it because it seemed like a political attack and they didn't want to open up the state to any sort of lawsuits or anything from the federal government. And he's saying that New York is the one who caused the deaths in the nursing homes. So in her words, they froze. They didn't know what to release or whatever because they were just basically trying to make sure that they didn't open up the state to a lawsuit from the federal justice system. Cuomo is saying, I mean, yeah, but at the same time, these people were going to die anyway, whether or not they were in a nursing home or a hospital. So who cares? Another layer to this is that people are saying that because the hospitals were blitzed and immediately exceeded their capacity, that the state was asking for nursing home beds for these people and thus brought the virus to nursing homes where even more at-risk people are. So Cuomo's like, look, we had to do something. We weren't getting the help. Yes, they died, but who cares if they died at nursing homes and who cares if they died at hospital. So that's basically where they are right now, and it's an ongoing situation, and I see both sides of it. I mean, if you're Trump, you're attacking your opposition, you're trying to push the agenda that outside needs to stay open or the economies are going under, and that's your major ticket platform that you're running on, the economy, this, that, and the third, and the stock market, which of course took a hit because of COVID, a massive hit. Cuomo's like, no, we need resource, and we need to point out we're doing the best we can with what we have. This is the way forward. And oh, by the way, we're the only ones taking this seriously. And oh, by the way, the government sucks. So, but the real issue is here, you withheld information. Like, what's done in the dark always comes to light. And honestly, if you truly felt, who cares where they died, why didn't you release the fucking numbers? Like, I don't understand that. Because it was going to be grim regardless. But, and it was going to look bad. But at the same time, that's how you frame it. Like, look, we have to put them in nursing homes because jackass fucked us over. I mean, that's what you ran with in the first place, that New York got, you know, the illegal ban on travel, even though COVID got here from Europe. You keep calling it the China virus. You didn't give us the resource. You didn't do any of the prep work there in the time that you had. And now we have to do, we have to make things happen. And then now you're making us beg for aid. So yeah, we did what we had to. That's how you frame that. But I mean, obviously hindsight is 20/20. And then in the middle of that, another woman has come forward accusing Governor Cuomo of some sort of sexual misconduct. Again, no real details on that. But to his credit, he's called for an independent investigation, which, I mean, that is what it is, but it's good to hear him say. And of course, AOC, a congressman from New York, has also said that. Obviously, we want to get to the bottom of that independent of the political implications, just because that's bad juju. But also, you have to be cognizant of the political implications that all this is happening right around the same time. Who knows what's what? But he didn't make... This could be very well a political hit job. This could be very real complaints that coincide with a political scenario. Or this could all be, you know, real and independent of itself. But... you do yourself no favors by calling your own ethics into question, and then now you get hit with this shit. So, more to follow on that as it comes. I haven't really seen too much of it on the news itself, but I have been watching the news. So, I'll keep you apprised as I find stuff out. And other political fuckery. So, the South Dakota Attorney General, let me see his name. Jason Ravensburg. So it's spelled like Raven, but with no E. Ravensburg said that he thought he hit a deer. But, and I heard about this a couple weeks ago, but now it's saying that, because this happened in September 2020. But now they're like, how did you think you hit a deer when the person who you hit and killed with your Taurus, his glasses were in your car? And now, and it's unclear whether or not, you know, he went and picked the glasses up and put them in his car or they came through the windshield. But the headline here is that his face made contact with the windshield. So everybody's like, that's clearly not a deer. The attorney general says that he thought he hit a deer and he didn't realize he hit a person until he came back the next day. Now, again, I work in insurance. When you hit a deer, and especially I looked at the car, the airbags deployed and everything. If you hit a deer, the first thing you do is call your insurance and a cop. You're not going to drive that car away. So how it took you till coming to the next day, that makes no fucking sense to me. None. Zero. He hit that person and he panicked and, you know, his headassery and whiteness and being an attorney and connections, he thought he could get away with this shit. And, you know, in large place he has, because they're calling for him to be recalled and everything, but he hasn't even resigned. So that's the level of audacity that this man has after getting caught. And two, he's only facing 3 misdemeanor charges in an accident that resulted in the loss of a human life. Where did it go? It said the 3 misdemeanors are for operating a motor vehicle while using a mobile device, driving outside a lane, and careless driving. No mention of vehicular manslaughter or homicide or anything like that. And even if that wasn't the case, how about failing to render help, failing to report? Because who knows if the man was killed? I mean, honestly, I'm looking at this car. I wouldn't be surprised if he was killed. He was hit on the passenger side fender and hood. The hood is crumpled, and you can clearly see where, again, I work in this, so it clearly wasn't like a hard, like, or like a, you know, like a brick or anything like that. This is exactly what happens when a body strikes a vehicle. And I've seen it a couple times, unfortunately, in my job. So that's bullshit. This is just complete and utter bullshit. And the fact that he's not being held to a higher standard, and then the fact that he has the audacity to think he's just going to keep working, just goes to show the state of America right now. So I hope they throw the book at his ass, but clearly they won't. No word on the ethnicity of the person he hit, but I mean, the name sounds Joseph Beaver or Bover, spelled B-O-E-V-E-R. Let me see if I can Google image search himself. Search. Yep, he looks white. Damn, white man can't even get justice. Yeah, that's trash. More nonsense. So Mitt Romney went on record saying that he thinks that Trump, if he does move forward with another presidential push in 2024, that he will outright win the Republican nomination. And Mitch McConnell even said that he would support it, which is, you can call Mitch a lot of things, but he ain't stupid. And I've been saying this for one, like, by doing this second impeachment, and more often than failed, it did the exact same thing as the first impeachment. Let's not, we forget that Trump had the second highest vote total in history. And if you think that that failed impeachment attempt didn't rally his base to come out in record numbers, you guys are insane. You're insane. So what do you go and do? You do it again. Because even if you were, and it was a no win, if you were successful and you got him banned, you galvanized the Republican Party, you free them of the cancer that they brought upon themselves, which is Trump. And if you don't win, look what you've done. You have rallied them again and given the Republicans an out to use him again. Mitch McConnell just wants his fucking party back. But he knows he cannot disavow Trump outright without consequences that they're not prepared to do. So at least up until the midterm, he is going to entertain loyalty to Trump. What happens at the midterm is going to dictate how loyal he remains to him. Like whether or not they can flip seats back to the Republicans, and what kind of Republicans are these, the Trump Republicans, the far right, or are these like the actual conservatives? But the Democrats are idiots. Like honestly, they don't understand how to let their enemies self-implode and to help them do it. There is no way, like even if Trump wins the GOP nomination, assuming that Biden's presidency is not a complete and utter shit show, assuming that the economy takes any kind of upward turn, and assuming that even if he doesn't run again, Kamala comes and the same turnout, like, and you hold on to the measurable change in Georgia, you still are in a position to win, even if it is a slightly close race. But you had the potential to cripple the GOP, and all you do is just throw them crumbs. That's it. Because Mitt Romney said that he represents a small minority of the GOP, and I believe him because of those seven senators who voted for his impeachment. That even though the majority of the GOP probably doesn't like Trump, only a small faction will stick to their guns and try to get rid of him. He's in the minority. So I don't understand. y'all, like I said, the midterm is going to tell everything, and I would honestly, I don't think he'll live till 2024, but who knows? I vote black regardless, so I don't care red or blue. The political landscape is ever changing. I don't fear Trump in office. I don't fear him out of office. But for those of you, like I said, y'all got to hold Biden to it because you're on the clock. You guys just got it in your mind that he's got 8 years, or Kamala's going to have 8 years. And that's not the case, especially considering what's going on right now with the military. So evidently Biden ordered some strikes into Syria at sites that are either controlled or utilized by Iranian military or militia forces. I mean, bombing the Middle East is nothing new. And it's funny, the Republicans are trying, oh, look what he did, when, you know, your president killed a whole Iranian general in Iraq. But whatever, hypocrisy is nothing new there. But the issue here is that, you know, Obama has the legacy of being the, the drone bomber in chief or some shit like that. And Biden was his vice. So now, of course, people are saying, oh, when the Republicans do it, there's outrage and everything. But when the Democrats do it, their bombers just have peace flags and LGBT and all this other stuff. Whatever. And bombing is wrong, right? Okay, whatever. But even Pompeo, who was he the SecDef or chief? He was somebody militarily important under Trump, even said, like, look, I just hope that they were hard targets that actually have a benefit to the strategic welfare of the United States, and not just, you know, wasted ordnance or moral victories. So, I mean, feel how you feel about America bombing the Middle East. That's nothing new. That's nothing changed. But the real issue here is, you know, I need to see what's going to happen with that. And then you also got to think about this. This is just as bad as killing, well, not just as bad because there's nameless people who were killed versus the general from Iran who was killed. But at the end of the day, we violated the sanctity or the sovereignty of another country to conduct a military operation. Like, imagine if Syria said, hey, we found a white supremacist cell in America and bombed Virginia to take them out. Yeah, that wouldn't go over at all. So that's basically what we did. Now, what comes of that, who's to say? We did the same thing when we killed Obama in Pakistan. And so if we're going to be fair, we're going to call it all the same shit, but whatever. Another thing that Biden is taking heat over is his current immigration snafu. So on the plus side, he's reunited a couple hundred, of the families for the children who were separated from their families at the border and were being detained. Some of them, but they're still trying to reunite about 300 more. And those 300 kids are in a facility, emphasis on the facility, but people are still calling them, you know, the camps. Like, they don't belong in camps. And my thing is, like, okay, that's fine, but where are you going to put them in the meantime? Like, okay, fine. You take them up. Where are you going to put them? You act like there's not a ton of foster, like, our American foster care program is not already a abysmal failure. So where else are you going to put these kids? I get it. Nobody wants them caged up, and I haven't walked in them. I don't know what the facilities are like, and I'm all for it. If they can be made better, then do so. But people just, camps are camps. Like, where are you going to put them in hotels? And okay, let's say you put them in hotels. Never mind the money, whatever. Who's going to keep the kids safe? Because these are still unaccompanied minors. You know, they're vulnerable to sex trafficking and all this other shit. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answers, but I'm just saying you got to approach this with fairness. But what is also undeniably fucktarded is that while this is all happening and Biden signed legislation that stopped deportations that Trump had enacted, over 4,000 people have been deported from Texas since then. And not only just 4,000 people, 4,000 Haitians have been taken back to Haiti. Over 15 jumbo jets worth. So what, and that's since January. So that's in February. That's a shit ton of people, dog. Like, yeah, so if you got, like I said, black people, that's your president. Hold them accountable. And funnier political news. So Trump's taxes were finally turned over to the New York prosecutor, which again could be an element of the Cuomo situation that they're, you know, I don't know. Just guessing. But the taxes are over there, and I'm surprised we haven't heard a bombshell yet. I just assume that there's pages and pages and pages and pages of this shit that need to get combed through, and that the New York prosecutor doesn't want to blow their case and wants to have their ducks in a row, because that is the actual best way to get Trump out of the political landscape, is to convict him and turn him into a fucking felon. But more to follow on that as it develops. And Ted Cruz evidently got banned from Marriott because when he tried to escape to fucking Mexico while his constituents froze, he tried to be a cheapskate about it and flew commercial, which is why he got seen. And then he tried to use his Marriott rewards points. Well, evidently Marriott has some kind of clause, morality, ethics, or whatever in their rewards program that says that if you violate it, in their opinion, not only do you forfeit your points, which can be thousands of dollars, somebody like Ted Cruz, who travels on the government dime, racking up, you know, all kinds of points and whatnot, but you can be banned from all of their locations, which I believe Marriott and Hilton are together. So yeah, he got banned from that shit for moral failing, and which I think that's a slippery slope. But at the same time, I get why they would have that, especially in a hotel chain, because if they find out, you know, you're leaving prostitution rings and shit like that out there, yeah, I don't know, because he didn't technically commit a crime, but yeah, fuck Ted Cruz. In non-political happenings, Ghislaine Maxwell, for those of you who don't recall that name, that is a friend of Jeffrey Epstein, who is rumored to have been his chief procurer of underage girls for his sexual parties, rape parties, actually, at his various estates and jets and boats and whatever it may be. So, of course, after Jeffrey, air quote, kill himself, he ain't fucking kill himself. We all know that. I know it. You know it. The truth is out there somewhere. Anyway, she wants bail. And she's been held without bond for months now. And I'm surprised she hasn't gotten mysteriously killed. So it stands to reason jail might be actually be the safest place for her, because I guess they feel like they couldn't get away with it twice. Because once you're outside, bitch, somebody is going to fucking kill you. She offered to renounce her citizenship and passports. I'm like, bitch, no, somebody's going to put a bullet in your head. So I don't think she got the bail, but that's hilarious. El Chapo's wife was arrested at Dulles, which is about an hour and a half from me, which is insane. Because before, like I want to say a couple of months ago, she made the news because they were trying to get her to testify against him. He's like, what? I didn't know he'd sold drugs. I thought he was just a businessman. Well, now she got arrested in Dulles. And the only thing I can think of is that the cartel wars are getting fucking insane and she's a target. So she came here where it's relatively safer in a nice cush American jail than getting her head cut off and put on the side of a road somewhere down in Juarez. So I don't know. I haven't heard anything else about that. She got charged with drug trafficking, like RICO type stuff, but I don't think she's made a statement. Hold on, let me see, because this was a few days old. El Chapo wife. But that's the only reason I can think of that she would come up here. Oh, okay. So yeah, her lawyer is saying that the feds put out a leak that she was poised to cheat, to squeal on El Chapo, thus putting the heat on her to turn herself in before somebody fucking killed her. Yeah, that sounds about right. Crazy. Lady Gaga's dog walker got shot. Initially, the report said she was shot 4 times in the chest, which I was like, God damn, who the fuck? And it looked like, that's why they framed this as a dog napping. But I'm like, who shoots somebody 4 times in the fucking chest to steal some dogs? She had 3 French bulldogs, looks like, and 2 of them were stolen. The man was taken in critical condition, and he has since been stabilized. It looks like he made a statement. But Lady Gaga, of course, was taking, because I heard that these French bulldogs cost a lot of money, and I've seen, you know, here in the DMV, pit bulls are like, you know, a symbol. So people will steal your pit bull out of your yard or rob you for them. I've seen an actual video of that, somebody getting held up at gunpoint and their puppy stolen from them. But evidently French bulldogs are a big deal, and I don't know if it's just, I know French bulldogs in themselves can be expensive, but I'm sure that these dogs were also identified as Lady Gaga's dogs. So that might have had an element as to why this dog walker was targeted. Yeah. So he got shot not only 1 time and not 4 times. So that's great, and he's still alive. And Gaga took some heat because she put out a $500,000 reward for the dogs. Now, I'm sure she absolutely wanted her dogs back, but it was more so, you know, I'm sure that she also wanted to know who shot her fucking dog walker. She was cared about the person, but she's getting flack for prioritizing her dogs over the human life that was almost lost. Some of y'all just don't think, like, how else are they going to get tips on, you know what I mean? Like, you say $500,000 for the tips of the whereabouts of the person who shot my person. They'll kill those dogs to get put in the wind and everything. But white people care about dogs. So if somebody turns their dogs in, now you have a lead on the fucking shooters. Of course, that could be also be me. I don't know Lady Gaga personally. So that could be me shooting her bail she don't deserve. And she cannot give a fuck about her dog work. I don't fucking know. What's funny, though, is the dog walker himself is saying, here's a statement. I will write and say more later, but the gratitude for all the love I feel from around this planet is immense and intense. I felt your healing support. Thank you. Wrote, what's his name, Fisher? His name, don't know what his first name is. Oh, Ryan Fisher. Okay. So, yeah. He's very grateful for the support and healing energy, and he's humbled and grateful that the attention and focus from the police were enough to get Koji and Gustav back to safety, and I know they are committed to bringing these criminals, the attempted murderers, to justice. So, yeah, even he's putting the dog ahead. I'm going to go out and say he's a different kind of dude. I watched some of the video and the screaming, and again, I don't... You know, this is a horrible way to a horrible thing to have to go through, but... From just the tone of his screams and the way he behaved, I'm going to go out and say that I believe he is possibly gay or very much a hippie, because he hit a very high note. And I don't, from the video, it was a ringtone, a ring camera. I couldn't see if the gun was out immediately, but I doubt it, because if the gun was out and he's still fighting, you know, he wouldn't have fought that hard for those dollars and been screaming and everything like that. But then, you know, there was the argument, then the gunshot. So who knows? I don't know. But he's the type of person, I say all that not to disparage him for being possibly gay or anything, but to say that he's one of those people who puts a dog's life on or above the level of a human life. So this plays, if that's the case. It's just a weird situation. But I absolutely hope they find whatever animals shot this man over fucking dogs. That's insane. Looking at his picture, he's definitely a weirdo, but nothing screams gay. I don't know, my gaydar might not be calibrated. Who knows? We got some more scumbags. So I'll start with this one, because this one was kind of a national story, and then go to or the more entertainment one. So John Gettard, for those of you who don't know, he was the USA gymnastics coach from back in 2012, I believe, for a number of years, but he coached several gold medalists and stuff like that, like, you know, Gabby Douglas, and I believe he coached Simone Biles at one point. But recently he was charged in connection with the charges that were brought on Lawrence G. Nassar, who was the doctor for USA Gymnastics, who was convicted of sexually abusing hundreds of girls. And now he is being charged for sex trafficking, for aiding and abetting in that. And within hours of being charged, he killed himself. I believe he shot himself. I'm not entirely sure, but his body was found at a rest stop within hours of being charged. And basically it's being alleged that, you know, he was such a hard coach, he broke them down mentally, physically, whatever, and then he got them injured, he pushed them to injury, and then he would send them to Nassar, who would play good cop but at the same time be molesting them. And I do believe it was alleged that he might have molested one girl personally himself. Of course, there are gymnasts who feel cheated of justice because he took the coward's way out. I would have loved to see him get the quadrillion year sentences that that Nassar got, but just sick people. And we got to protect our girls, we got to protect our boys, we got to protect our kids in these sports, you know. Ask questions, be involved, and don't trade your souls for fame. Like, I'm not don't say that to blame any parents involved in this, but you know, those are the angles that a lot of these predators use. Oh, I can take you to the next level, or this, that, and the third. So just be vigilant with your kids, man, because this is heartbreaking. Yeah, he's dead. NASA's in jail, but those girls, they have to fight to be whole again. And I don't know if they ever will be, but it's terrible. Tragic. Another scumbag, Ne-Yo, the singer, R&B. So Ne-Yo, I guess, went public with his wife, Crystal Renee. I forgot her new name. Crystal Smith, I think it is, because I think his last name is Smith now. But anyway, they're pregnant again. I think this is the fourth or fifth child. And of course, every time they pop up pregnant, you see this meme about how Ne-Yo forced his ex-girlfriend to get her tubes tied so that she couldn't have, because he didn't want any more babies. And then he broke up with her and married Crystal Renee and had five kids. And the women are up in arms. And, you know, like, don't get me wrong, scumbag behavior, totally believe it. Manipulative as fuck, yes. But my thing is, that is a grown woman. And as much as you other grown women like to come out here and say, don't do wife shit for a man who won't wife you. And then you just talking about making this nigga dinner or his laundry or I don't know. Even some of y'all even consider giving head wife duty. Like, so if y'all are on that kind of time, where does getting body surgery and not even just like implants, like, you know, for like cosmetics or anything like that or lipo, but affecting your reproductive ability come into that? If y'all are holding chicks accountable, calling them pick me's for cooking and stuff like that, why aren't you calling this chick a pick me for cutting up her body and taking away her own reproductive ability? Where is the same energy? And y'all love to say how a man can't tell a woman to do. You're absolutely right, he can't. So why aren't you holding her to that standard? Because they weren't even fucking married. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't a manipulative fuck, that he didn't get in her head, abuse her. He might have done all of that shit. But at the end of the day, this is his girlfriend. She's a grown fucking woman. So we can call Neo a scumbag, and I'm fine for that. But we don't ever mention that. Instead, every time he pops up with a kid, he made her do shit. She had to do shit but stay black and die. That's just it. And beyond that, I caution y'all because, again, like last year or the year before, didn't this nigga like file for divorce from Crystal and she had to find out from the shade room or something after this nigga, like she found out and then he literally walked in the door and asked her what was for dinner. Like nothing. Like he didn't even mention it to her. And now they're having another kid. Which, hey, maybe they did the work. Maybe they did the therapy. Maybe they're moving forward. That relationship is good. Or maybe it's the manipulative fuck saying, oh yeah, I fucked up, here, have this baby. Because where do we see that? People thinking that babies fixing relationships, and they're on number 5. So at the end of the day, when do we hold people responsible for their own fuck shit? Again, I'm fine with Neo being called whatever, but keep the same energy. That's all I'm asking for. I'm going to end this though with the story about black excellence. So again, I promise you guys, I am working on my story about my time in the Air Force and why I'm not in the Air Force and everything like that. But one of the things I'm most proud of with my military career was long before I was in active duty, and that was being a member of Det 015 Tuskegee University's ROTC, Air Force ROTC detachment. In which point, you know, that was when I first became the continuation of the legacy of the Tuskegee Airmen. Now, I wanted to be a fighter pilot. Alas, it never happened. It was not to be. However, some of my NEOs, if you will, meaning junior cadets who came in after me, and I don't profess to say that I forged them, I made them, anything like that, but I like to think not only did I have a positive influence because I was upper leadership when they came in, but, and that's just directly on them, but I helped make a landscape that was favorable for their seats to grow unobstructed. And they are now fighter pilots, F-16 pilots at that, in the very same unit that one of our, if not our most prestigious, well, that's a tall order, but one of our most prestigious alums, General Daniel Chappie James, the first 4-star general in the United States Air Force, served in Vietnam. If you guys don't know about that, look up, it's called the Bolo MiG Sweep, where him and Colonel Robin Olds led one of the most ostentatious air campaigns, air operations in the Vietnam War. Great reading. I think the show Dogfights on the History Channel, you might even be able to see it online, recreations of the dogfights, the air-to-air battles that happened there. It's great stuff. But they're now majors, which, to put that into perspective, I got out of the Air Force when I was a first-year captain, and I was 28? What was I? No, I was 30. Yeah. I don't know. The point is, I'm 36 now, and now my youngins are majors, and it's awesome. I want to salute Major Douglas, a.k.a. callsign Bane Jenkins, of the 8th Fighter Wing, and Major Chris, callsign Tuco Harrison, formerly of Tuskegee, forever from Tuskegee, but currently serving as fighter pilots in leadership positions, too, of the Juvats detachment of the Fighting Falcons, also known as the Wolfpack. They're out there doing big things, living. I'm insanely jealous and supremely proud to see these two young black men out there killing it There's just nothing else to say. I can't put it into words. We haven't, for those of you who don't know, part of the reason why I went to Tuskegee was because, you know, Tuskegee Airmen, I want to be a pilot. Makes sense, right? And I remember seeing on their site that they, you know, had a flight program, which in fact they did not. They had the very loose association with their flight school that maybe if you applied to them, maybe they get a grant, maybe you come, which is crazy because the very airfield that the Tuskegee Airmen trained out of, Moton Airfield, is not walking distance, but it's not even 5 minutes from the campus. And I never, you know, they never had the training flights while I was there. The funding wasn't there. The relationships weren't there. Everything wasn't there. And then on top of that, which I'll touch on in my series about me, we had some detachment leadership who were, sad to say, they were black. One of them was my fraternity brother, Colonel Nelson English. Fuck him the long way, by the way. Actively sabotaging people for no other reason than his own self-aggrandizement and trying to boost his numbers. I don't know what his mentality was, but it wasn't the welfare and it wasn't the promotion of his best and brightest to positions that they wanted to do with their Air Force career. He sabotaged me actively, and prior to Doug and Chris here, our detachment hadn't commissioned pilots, let alone, well, no, okay, I take that back. So in my class, there were three pilots commissioned out of there, but we hadn't had any fighter pilots in decades. I dare say since Chappie's time. So to see, you know, Doug and Chris doing this is just a dream come true, a dream deferred for me, but also a dream come true for them. And I just want to salute them and end my podcast on that level of positivity. Yeah, not too much left. Want to keep it short and sweet because it's already 11:20 on a Monday night. I've got 3 more weeks in Facebook jail, and I will then have a live show trying to work out a co-host to do that one. And then on top of that, I will also be debuting the first installment of What Happened to Me in the Air Force. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, in between, if you're a DMV resident, evidently I had no idea that this had happened. Evidently it's been there since 2017, but I feel like it was tied up in court. DC became a shall issue territory in terms of issuing concealed carry permits versus being a may issue territory like Maryland currently is. DC was may issue because they basically copied Maryland's statutes and everything, but they got overruled in a Supreme Court case saying that was unconstitutional. May issue means that you can pass all of the requirements to get a concealed carry permit and then they just decide not to give it to you. And then shall issue means that if you pass it, they have to give it to you. And since April of last year, over 4,000 permits have been issued versus the 40 that were previously active. So they are getting it done, and you don't necessarily have to live in DC to qualify for the permit. Because I want to say 30-40% of them are evidently from Maryland residents. You just have to do all this insane training requirements and everything like that. But if that's not, if you live in DC, obviously, and if you frequent DC, I strongly encourage you to go get one. It also looks like Maryland's may issue status is on the verge of being overturned too. Not only because the precedent set by the Supreme Court of Appeals for the DC permit, which uses Maryland's exact language, so the case law is already there, but Maryland has also been, there are nonprofit groups, I went down a rabbit hole on YouTube, that were pressing as recently as February 4th Maryland's state legislature to remove the may issue status from, and I listened to these sessions before and the tone was totally different. Before, they're asking for relief, they're asking for, please consider this, it's common sense, we want common ground, like contrite asking for it. And now this one was like, look, we got your number, we've already got the Heller case from the Supreme Court, we have another case filed against you, and oh, by the way, your laws have been shown unconstitutional, do what's right here because we're coming for you. So the tone is totally different. I for one am very excited to get my carry privileges back, not probably my carry rights back, but my, you know, that's a whole nother conversation, a whole nother rant, but it's coming. So there's no guarantee, though, that they will take their heads fully out of their ass and have reciprocity, meaning that if you have a Maryland permit, it's good in D.C., or D.C. currently a D.C. permit is not good in Maryland. So there's no guarantee that once both of them are on shall issue, that despite having the exact same requirements, they will recognize both of them. So if you're in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, you know how easy it is to be in D.C. 1 minute, Maryland the next, Virginia the next, just by crossing a bridge or crossing a street. So I encourage you to get both permits. Virginia has gone to constitutional carry, and they also offer a permit. So you're good in Virginia if you have a gun legally. But D.C. and Maryland, you're going to need at least the two permits unless they surprise me and do reciprocity. So I'm in the process of finding a trainer, because even though D.C. has the ability to waive the training requirement for somebody like me who's prior military and has another permit, from what research I've done in the last couple of days, they just refuse to do it. So I'm going to have to come up with some money, but it's going to be well worth it to avoid a potential felony just for getting pulled over with my pistol on me. But that's all I got. Again, I'll see you guys. I'm shooting for this weekend, but I'll see you guys next week, counting down my social media ban and everything like that. But keep on fucking with me. If you fuck with me, I'd like to thank those 20 or so people who are sticking with me to this point. Tell a friend, goddammit, or hit me up if I'm not giving you the content you want, you need, you deserve. What do you want me to talk about? I'm here for you. Till next time.